WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the program. Final show of this week. I am off tomorrow, Friday, and then, of course, Monday's holiday will not be here. But that's okay, because it's a special treat if you want to get caught up on a lot of Murray State information. I'm going to, first of all, get you caught up with everything sports-wise. But on our show, we have Alan Ward, Murray State's Director of Athletics. He'll lead it off, followed by head football coach Mitch Stewart. Get an update on the camps and some other good stuff. And then Kevin Mulder, sort of a wrap-up of the baseball season and the progress that the Racer baseball team made this season. Man, they really brought the sticks this year. We'll find out about what they have on tap. Maybe get a sneak peek of next year's baseball schedule, if you'll be kind enough to take care of that for us. It's all coming up on today's show, but before we get to any of those interviews, let's do this. Let's get you caught up with what happened. Hoping to have results of that baseball game between Murray High and Marshall County. Didn't get it in yesterday. Fingers crossed they'll be able to do that today at Reagan Field. Rained out for two straight days. They'll try to play that at 5 o'clock today. Coming up in the OVC baseball tournament, there are three games on tap today. Last night, Moorhead beat Tennessee Tech 3-2 in 12 innings. So far, all chalk as Austin Peay down Belmont 12-7. Today, Tennessee Tech and Belmont will hook up in an elimination game. Second seed Jacksonville State plays Austin Peay at 3. Tonight at 7, SEMO, the top seed, takes on Moorhead State. Louisville won their first game of the ACC tournament, beating Wake Forest 9-5 yesterday. They get the day off today. SEC tournament scores saw Vanderbilt down Texas A&M 6-5. Ole Miss 10, South Carolina 4. Mississippi State defeated Alabama 4-1. LSU down 4-5-3. Now they're into the double elimination portion of the tournament for the SEC, so all the losing teams there are still alive. Kentucky out of it as they lost in the single elimination portion of the SEC tournament. Murray State's Valerie Carrier is participating in the 10,000-meter run with the NCAA Women's Track and Field Team East Regional. Gets underway today in Jacksonville, Florida. The sophomore from Kenya, Carrier has 14 top five finishes in the indoor and outdoor seasons, combined with a must finish among the top 12 this week in a field of 47 runners. If she does that, she earns a spot in the NCAA championships next month in Eugene, Oregon. Carrier qualified for the NCAAs after a pair of record-setting performances this spring. Well, yesterday we told you about Tennessee State's Clairwyn Damius being named the OVC Female Athlete of the Year. Today we find out Jacksonville State quarterback Eli Jenkins is the OVC Male Athlete of the Year. This is, again, in voting by the league's athletic directors and sports information directors. He's just a junior, so he could go back-to-back. Jenkins will receive his award along with Damius at the Honors Brunch June 3rd in Nashville. Jenkins, first-team All-American and the FCS AD National Quarterback of the Year, helping Jacksonville State become the first OVC football team to reach the national championship game since 1982. Along the way, the quarterback guided the Gamecocks to the first ever number one national ranking. It's the highest ranking ever in the program's Division I history. The OVC Player of the Year, one of just three quarterbacks at the Division I level to pass for 2,700 yards and rush for 1,000 yards this year. Not a good day for the Cardinals pitching yesterday. Carlos Martinez giving up a six spot in the second inning. The Cardinals couldn't recover, but they made a game of it. However, they lost to the Cubs 9-8. But you got to feel that when you get eight on a day when Jake Arrieta pitches, you ought to win. The Cardinals didn't do that. And they're still here. We are 2 months into the season, and they're, they're mediocre. Just be brutal honest. A little bit better than 500, and they've shown really no sign that they're going to be any different than that. Still a lot of the season left, but we're still, fingers crossed, waiting on that. St. Louis fans, not a good day overall. The Blues hoping to force a Game 7 in their series with the San Jose Sharks, but that didn't happen. They lost 5-2, so that is over. And tonight, we will try to see Cameron Payne, former Murray State player, get his team into the NBA Finals. If they beat the Warriors tonight, they'll do that. They get three cracks to make that happen. If Payne's in there, as best I can tell, and again, I haven't done terribly extensive research, but as much as I have time to do, we believe he'll be the first in an NBA Final since Joe Foulkes did that back in 1947. So that'd be a pretty cool trick to turn. All right, going to take this quick break, and then back to back to back, Alan Ward, Mitch Stewart, Kevin Mulder, all coming right up.
Cardinals Magazine. The way they put it together, the presentation, the thick paper, the glossy photographs, the stories on all your favorite players and moments, the Cardinal tradition, the history. Cardinals Magazine will put you right there in Busch Stadium behind home plate like no other publication in Major League Baseball. Pick up your copy at the ballpark or subscribe by calling 314-345-9000 or by visiting cardinals.com/magazine.
Welcome back to the program. As promised, Murray State University Director of Athletics, Alan Ward, is my guest. Alan, how long have you been at Murray State? I can't remember anyone before you now.
That's scary, Neil. I've been here 11 years now.
Really? Oh, my.
Yep.
Well,
I've enjoyed it.
Time flies when we're having fun, I guess.
What have you done for me lately, right?
I know that. Well, let's talk about the athletic year as a whole. We certainly had a ton of high notes this season, and I know at one point a few weeks ago we were looking good in the Commissioner's Cup standings. What is your year-in-review progress report as far as athletics?
Well, we have had a good year, Neil, and I'm really excited about what we've done. We were first. It looks like we're going to finish third in the Commissioner's Cup after all is said and done. But to finish in the top three is something to be proud of. And I think there's a number of years now where we've finished at least in the top half, but even the top four and above. And, you know, we won it the 1 year. So I'm really pleased, really excited about our year in soccer. And we got pretty much everybody back. Volleyball had an outstanding year. We got Scott Ingram coming back again. You know, rifle did really well. You know, basketball, even though probably a little bit of a down year in most people's expectations, I think it was pretty amazing what Matt was able to do and what the team was able to do to continue the winning streak. So, you know, all in all, I'm really pleased. I thought baseball made good progress in Kevin's second year. I know he wanted to make the tournament. I wanted him to make it as well. But to have a 11-win increase from the year before and a 4-win increase in the OVC and be right there in it until the very last game, I think it says a lot about where our baseball program is heading. So, all in all, good year. And regrettably, there was a number of other things I was having to concentrate on during the year, but for the most part, it was really good.
I understand that, and I know the budget issues have played a big role over this past year and probably will next year, too. We of course, have had the story about men's tennis. How will that affect everything else? Will fans notice any sort of a difference besides that over the next year?
You know, that's a really good question, Neil, and that's not one that other people have really asked me in that context, and I think that's good. I appreciate that. You know, I hope they don't notice really anything. You know, certainly there are a couple of changes that we had to make. A good one being, or one to note would be like, you know, we tended to have the Murray Room open at halftime for our Racer Club members, and that cost us about $3,000 a year to do that, and it was a nice benefit, but those are one of the little things that we're going to have to pull back on and save that money so that we can focus our funds in places like, you know, scholarships and summer school and fifth year and things like that. So that might be a little change that they recognize. But other than that, I hope they don't recognize really anything. I'm not increasing my season ticket prices. I'm not upping my donor level. You know, all of that stayed the same. We've been able to manage ourselves in a way to put ourselves in a sound financial position every year and be able to handle cuts like this. This is certainly more significant than anything I've ever had to deal with being in Murray. When you have to cut a sport, you never really like to do that. But I hope the fans don't really notice anything different. And I hope our sports, the ones that remain, don't really feel the brunt of it either, because the last thing I want to do is put a lot of expectations on them and then cut their recruiting budget and expect them to go win. That's just not possible. So I hope the biggest thing is I want to define where we're going. I don't want the cuts and stuff to define where we're going, and I believe we've accomplished that.
Well, something I think you've done very well with is management of money, because every year, even though when things are tight as they usually are across most places, you find ways to enhance the facilities. That's something that happens every year. Usually you point to this or that. Will that be an area where you're still able to have maybe some money put back that you can use this year for any of the facilities as far as upgrades?
No question. I will always continue to do that, Neil. And And I'm fortunate to do that because of a fan base that is passionate about our program and supportive. You know, they just don't talk a good game. They come out and support us. And as a result of what they've done and their unrestricted gifts, we've always been able to set some money aside and work on those facilities. And I've got five or six projects that hopefully come July 1, when things settle down a little bit, I can reinitiate them and we can get after it again. So no, that will not change at all, because if we're standing still there, then we're falling behind, and I don't want that at all. So, and you know, I'm proud of the way we manage our budget. We don't have the largest budget in the world, but you know, at the end of the year, we're never having to ask the university for more money. We manage it and we meet our revenue lines, and we always have money left at the end of the year as far as what I call a carry forward. It's not a lot, but it shows we're responsible, and I think it also shows the university when we do want to embark upon projects that we're going to handle them the right way and manage our funds wisely, and I'm proud of that fact.
An old broadcaster question: are the lights at Stewart Stadium still on the agenda?
Well, yes, they still are on the agenda. I have some work to do there. That money that we were generating this past year was starting to get caught up in some of the current budget cuts. Mm-hmm. You know, the governor's decision, and so I've been working to save money in other areas so that I'll have that money available to do the lights. I don't expect them to happen this season like I was hoping, but yes, it's still out there, and we do need to see that happen, hopefully within the next year or two.
Speaking of money in football, I read the announcement about Georgia being on the schedule. That's a pretty good payday game for the Racers down the road.
Yeah, it is. I was a little worried there. I had a hole in my 18 schedule, and I was having a hard time filling it, and Georgia, you know, had the same date, and so it'll be an interesting experience. They're going to be pretty good by then, but
right.
It's one of those necessary evils that we have to work through and get that payday, and it's just big. We'll probably get, I think it's $550,000-$600,000 from them, and that's just something we just have to do each year. And as Mitch said, you know, we'll have a good time, and we'll have a good time maybe through the first quarter and maybe even through the second quarter. And I just laughed at him, but he always handles it with the right spirit, and and I appreciate that. So.
And when it comes down to it, and Mitch tells me, and the kids have told me the same thing, they like playing in those. It's kind of fun. There's really no pressure to win it.
When you do something early where you surprise them and jump out on them or something, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Typically what happens is the depth ends up getting you.
Sure.
You have a speed issue to begin with, and then your depth ends up getting you, and I think our two games against Division I opponents this past year showed that. Had pretty good first halves, as you saw, and then second half that we just tend to get beat down a little bit, and that's understandable.
What about the future of FCS football? Does it have a future as we know it now, or will there be something else down the road for it?
You know, that's a good question, Neil. I personally think that FCS football at some point will have to redefine itself. And it's probably going to have to redefine itself based off what happens with the Power Five
right.
group. As they continue to do things that we're just not going to be able to do at our level, and that gap continues to widen, I think there'll be a point in time where all the FCS ADs and presidents will sit and say, okay, what do we need to do? What's best for our level? We're still a Division I program. We still have 63 scholarships, but we're certainly much different than what the Power Five group is. Or even the group of five. That gap is even wider.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think a time's coming, and I wouldn't be surprised in the next 3 to 5 years if you're seeing those discussions happen. And I would be open to looking at it differently. I think we've got a great playoff system. It's exciting football. We need to rebrand it where we can sustain it, and then make sure that we remain Division I in all of our other sports.
Final question, in terms of a question, OVC meetings are looming, the spring meetings. Anything on the agenda that fans maybe would be interested in?
Well, you know, I haven't had a chance to look. They sent me the materials, and they're about 270 pages long.
Whoa!
So I haven't got through them yet, Neil. But, you know, spring meetings are always good. We have a chance to take care of a lot of business. I know that as ADs, we're going to talk about the overtime rule and the changes that are happening at the federal level with the Department of Labor, and how that affects exempt and non-exempt positions and who is subject to overtime and who's not. That is a major issue on all of our plates. And you know, I have 32 positions, Neil, that will now be subject to overtime.
Wow.
And you know, the if I had to pay overtime based off the hours that they worked, it's about an $800,000 issue. Now, we're managing it a little bit differently, and we're going to address it before the December 1 effective date, but that's huge for a program, all mid-major type programs, where we've gotten a lot of people that are below that threshold. So we'll talk about that as ADs. You know, certainly talk about the future. We're going to have to talk about men's tennis since, you know, there's three programs that have discontinued that. Make sure that they continue to get that automatic qualification. But there'll be good meetings. They're always good when the presidents and the ADs can get together and hash some things out. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot about men's basketball as well.
Wanted to get one comment. The NBA finals are looming, and we may have a Murray State player in them with Cameron Payne. Every time he gets in, I hear a mention of Murray State. That's always good for the university.
It's awesome, isn't it?
It is.
Just watch him and all his little dance moves. That's become viral every time you turn around. He and Westbrook are doing something,
yeah.
And it just cracks me up because he always has a big old smile on his face. But Cam's got a great future. I think he's in the perfect position with Coach Donovan in Oklahoma City. And wow, what a loaded team with talent, and to beat San Antonio and then turn around and do what they're doing to Golden State. I don't know that they'll win tonight in Golden State, but they sure have a shot to do it.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma City, that's going to be tough for the Warriors to go down there and beat them. But to have him in the finals would be outstanding, and I wish him the very best, and they're a fun team to watch.
Well, they are. Alan, as usual, I appreciate it. Thanks for another great year, and look forward to another one next season. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Neil. As always, you're the best.
Murray State Director of Athletics, Alan Ward.
Hi, fans. This is 2006 St. Louis Cardinals World Champion Air Miles. On Friday, June 3rd, the Cardinals face the Giants. That night, 30,000 fans, 16 and older, will take home a replica of the 2006 World Series trophy. It's a celebration of our 2006 championship on Friday, June 3rd.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006!
I'm World Champion Aaron Miles. Get your tickets at Cardinals.com.
As promised, we're joined by Razorhead football coach Mitch Stewart. And since the last time we spoke, Coach, you were just getting set to start your spring drills. It wasn't a typical spring camp, but give us an idea of what you were able to do and how you feel about how things turned out.
I tell you, I did not enjoy it when we were going through it because you know how I am. I like to go fast. I like to get a lot of reps and things like that. And just with the limited numbers that we had, we couldn't do that. But I really did like it from a standpoint of we really got to slow down and teach. We harped fundamentals, and we kind of built a foundation because and you and I've talked about this before, because when you're bringing in 40 players, 40 new guys, all at one time, the biggest thing that you're hoping in fall camp, or the biggest challenge that you have in fall camp, is getting those 40 guys on the same page as quickly as possible, because you don't get much time with them. So we really wanted to take spring ball and make sure that the 50 guys that we had here on campus right now understood the way we wanted to practice, the way that we wanted to tackle, the way we wanted to catch, the way we wanted to throw, all of those things, our vision of the program, our pillars of the program, all of those things. We had to make sure that we set that foundation so that when we get these new guys in, not only are they hearing it from us, but more importantly, they're hearing it from our guys. And I think we were able to do that. You know, we got a lot of things on film. We tried some new things out like every team does in spring, and some new, you know, schemes and different things like that. But, you know, it was very unconventional. I used to tell people, they go, man, I'm going to come see you practice. And I go, oh, please don't, because you're not going to like what you see. It's slow. you know, sometimes during Skelly, we would run about four plays, and then we'd stop and let them drink water. And then we'd run about four plays and stop and let them drink water. So, but it was good. I felt good coming out of it, you know, and we got a, like I said, we got a really, really good foundation.
Did you come out pretty healthy from the camp?
We did. We did. You know, that was one thing, obviously, that we looked at on a daily basis, just because when you don't have very many to start with, you want to make sure that you can at least get those that you have to the race, you know, and you want to get them to the starting gate. So we were able to do that. And then also some guys like, you know, Tony Mays at the end of the season, he had to have shoulder surgery. He kind of got back into the fold now, didn't practice with us at all, but started putting some weight on the bench and some things like that. So overall, very, very healthy.
You also, I think since the last time we spoke, you added a receiver from Delaware State who can come in and help right away.
Yeah, we did. You know, the graduation rule. He had graduated and still had 1 year to play, and wanted to come here. And obviously, the statistics and everything that we put up as far as passing goes, you know, it just kind of worked out very well. He's been a very productive receiver for, I think, 3 years. I think he was a three-year player, two-year starter, and was one of their most productive wide receivers. And it's a unique situation because a guy like that, you know he can do it because you're seeing him play versus like talent. You're seeing him play at the FCS level.
Right, right.
So you know that he can come in and has the skill set to do it. So very excited to pick him up.
I know you've had a few looks at some bowl transfer guys. Any news on that, or some that may be coming down the pike?
Yeah, we've got, you know, we still got a spot for an offensive lineman. We still have a spot for a quarterback if we need one, and then we actually still have a spot for a wide receiver. All of which we have some prospects at. Still have a spot at corner. And then also at defensive end, and at all of those places, you know, Coach Adams, our recruit coordinator, he's on the Twitter wires just about every morning, and we've been passing huddle film back and forth, and so we're on the phones constantly trying to find some guys to fill those needs, you know, and luckily we have some guys at all of those spots that we're talking to, and it's just a matter of getting them here.
Yeah, and a lot of that, once school is out of all these places, that makes the process a lot easier, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it speeds up now. You know, it's kind of been a slow process, but now most everybody has taken their finals, and so you get a chance to, you know, because the biggest thing a lot of times with those transfers is just being able to get them in school.
Sure.
What is their academic standings? Why are they leaving and things like that? So now all of that stuff is panning out because everybody's grades have posted. So it'll really start heating up. You know, I don't get real frantic about it really until about July. If we still have one of those spots open in July, you know, then you kind of get a little nervous. But at the same time, you know, if you don't feel it, it just gives you a chance to sign some guys at the midterm next year. So it's kind of – it's FCS recruiting at its finest.
I gotcha. I know last time we also spoke about your prospect camps, but you have added something called Friday Night Lights camps. And when I read this, I so wanted to go back as a little kid because I didn't get to play college football and be able to participate. I can't imagine a youngster not wanting to go out and do this.
I'll be honest with you. I wish I could take credit for the idea, but I can't. It was given to me actually by one of our administrators here on campus, and then I talked to some ladies, you know, I talked to some of my wife's friends and kind of ran the idea by them, and really had a lot of good response to it. And what it is you know, a lot of people call it Friday Night Lights Camp. That's a prospect camp, you know, and they bring prospects in. Well, we're doing it a little bit differently. Our Friday Night Lights Camp is for young kids. We put it ages 5 through 11, but I'm not turning anybody away. If you got a 2-year-old that wants to come out there and play with us, I'll take him or her. And you know, and it's boys or girls, it does not matter. We're going to do it from 6 to 9, and we pushed it back late because in the summer, you know, it doesn't get dark until 8 o'clock.
Sure.
So we had to push it back a little bit, but it gives us a chance to the weather's a little bit cooler. So it's not so, you know, it's just not drudgery for those kids. They're
right.
Not out in the summer heat. We get to turn the lights on, which none of those kids ever get a chance to do. They never get a chance to be on the field underneath the lights. They get to learn a little bit of football. We'll do some drills and some skills and some games and stuff like that. But with all of that being said, the reason why I like the idea so much is the bottom line is for those two Friday nights, you've got cheap babysitting for parents to go out on a date.
Yeah.
They've got 3 hours on a Friday night. If they want to go to dinner and a movie or whatever they want to do, they can bring their kids to us, drop them off for 3 hours. We'll take good care of them. And then when they come pick them up at 9 o'clock at night, those kids will want to do nothing but go to bed.
Man, now that sounds like a deal as far as I'm concerned. Not bad at all. Now, your prospect camps, tell me about those one more time.
Yeah, we're going to have one June 4th, so our first one's coming up here pretty quick, and then the other one I think is July 23rd. I don't have it in front of me. It's there in July, Saturday in July, and those are for 9th through 12th graders. And it's just a chance to, get some of our prospects, some of these guys that we're watching tape on these past couple of days, the guys that we really, really have honed in on, we want to get them to campus, have a chance to show them our place because we're very proud of our place, and take them around campus, show them the ins and outs and things like that. And then also make sure that our evaluation on tape has married up with, you know, the evaluation that we'll get to see in person. That's the biggest thing, especially with quarterbacks. You know, it's crazy, man, how different a kid can look throwing the football on tape than when you get him in person, you know. And sometimes the throwing motions just look totally different where you wonder if you were even watching the same kid.
Wow.
So it's a chance to get some guys here on campus. And I tell you, I really like our prospect camps because, you know, you got to be careful as an athlete. If you go to these big-time prospect camps where you're going to have 200, 250, 300 kids there, you got to be careful about how well you're going to get evaluated. Just because it's so hard to evaluate that number, you know, that volume of prospects. You know, you get into the room and you're like, hey, what did y'all think about Neil Bradley? Was he the one in blue shorts? No, he was wearing red. Was he tall? No, he was short.
Right.
You know, and the guy's like, man, I don't remember. Whereas our prospect camp is the numbers at it have always been really, really good to where we get some good one-on-one teaching. We get some good one-on-one evaluations. And also it's a chance for us to show our place off.
And speaking of camps, Katie Humphreys invited to the Manning Passing Academy. What a nice deal that's going to be for him.
Yeah, I tell you, that's a heck of an opportunity for him. And I say that it's a heck of an opportunity for them too, to get to meet a kid like, a young man like Katie.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, he's just, he's a very, very special person, you know, aside from all of the ball and all of those things that he does on the field and the numbers and all that kind of stuff. He's just he's a great ambassador for the sport. I guess is the best way to put it. He's kind of one of those old school cats, that just loves ball. He doesn't like the Nike and all of that stuff. He likes ball. He likes football. He likes going out there and competing. And, so I was very excited to get that call and get that invitation for him, I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience for him.
Final question before I go. I know budget concerns hit everybody, and there was a plan to get new lights. Is that still in the mix for this year?
Yeah, I think it's still in the mix. Last time I spoke with Alan, that's still in the mix, and we've got some other things, some talks going on from some outside sources, some people who want to help and hopefully can dress up the stadium a little bit and things like that. So, we'll see. This budget deal has got everybody scared.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for our administration, the way that they've battled, to keep priorities and some things like that. And, it's been tough, but, it's one of those things. It is what it is, and you just got to fight through it and make the most of what you got. And we're doing that right now. But I think all of those projects right now, I don't want to say they're on the back burner, but they're not out of the oven either. We just kind of, we're keeping them warm right now.
All right. Well, Mitch, I appreciate it. I'll chat with you again before fall camp. All right.
Yeah, that was great. It's right around the corner.
It is. Mitch Stewart, Racer Head football coach. Fortner Gas and WNBS presents a Dad Like No Other grill giveaway. Be listening for information on how you can win a Holland Vintage Gas Grill valued at almost $700 from Fortner Gas and 1340 WNBS. Welcome back to the program. As promised, we are joined by Kevin Mulder, Murray State baseball coach. As the Racers, I know, would love to be at the OVC tournament, but coach, anyone who saw the team play this year, take a look at what progress you made from last year to this season. I think it's easy to see you took a big step forward this year.
You kind of hit it right on the head. I think we're obviously disappointed to not still be playing right now, but I've had an opportunity to kind of step back from it a little bit and reflect on the season the past couple days and where we started this thing, an 11-game improvement and 15 wins in conference, which is the most in school history, and So, yeah, it's certainly a step in the right direction for the program.
And the league, I thought, was pretty good. I mean, it took some good teams to beat you. There were a lot of good teams in the league, and it just so happened you ran into one of those years when there were several good ones that just happened to be up there. And right now you're in the hunt, another step, especially with an improvement in the pitching, and you guys might not just be in the tournament but be contending perhaps for a championship.
No, yeah, you're right about that. I thought the league was really strong this year, and in fact, this is the first time in the history of the league 15 wins was not good enough to make the conference tournament. So there was certainly some really strong teams, and we competed well with those teams. And you know, truthfully, what kind of told the story for us is earlier in the season, we weren't quite the same team we were towards the end of the year, which is a good thing in the fact that we got better as the season went on, which I kind of expected with this many new players.
Right.
But we struggled with the bottom of the conference. We only went 5-4 versus Tennessee Martin, Eastern Illinois, and SIUE. And, you know, we probably needed to perform a little better versus those guys, and had we done so, We'd be playing today instead of talking on the radio right now.
Brandon Gutzler was a guy that I know he was off to a terrific start when he went down with an injury, and you had to kind of work around that. But you have to imagine that having that extra bat would have certainly helped you along. And if it made one game difference, you'd still be playing.
Yeah. You know, everyone goes through some injuries, and certainly none of our opponents are going to feel sorry for us. But we had a particularly cruel season with the injury bug. Brandon Gutzler is a special player, and you know he's a guy that was leading the country in RBIs at the time of his injury, and we certainly missed his presence. And our center fielder, our leadoff hitter, missed about 6 weeks of the year, and we were a different team without him. And then a lot of people forget about Brad Beagle was our top returning pitcher from last year and threw great down the stretch for us. And we played, I don't know, 65%, 70% of the season without him. So, you know, there's certainly some pieces that, you know, had things gone a little differently, maybe with their health, maybe we'd be there. But that's, you know, not how it works. And you know, they deal with that in the big leagues, too. No one certainly feels sorry for you.
That's part of baseball. You did say goodbye to some wonderful seniors at this past senior day, and I believe they will take with them the fact that they were part of a team that helped turn the fortunes around starting this season. I think they'll look back next year and be pretty happy to have been a part of this.
Yeah, I left them with, you know, kind of these words. I felt sick for them that they never had a chance to play in the conference tournament, and I thought we were going to get there this year. I really did, and I just told them I hope they smile next year and just down the line when we get this thing really going the way I know we're going to, and I hope they just take some satisfaction in knowing that they were a group that, in my opinion, this is the season that is we're going to look back and say that's when they turned the corner right there. And I hope they, you know, take satisfaction in knowing they were a part of it and enjoy some of the future success that we're going to have.
And the bats this season, talk a bit about those with Tyler Lawrence, Adam Bauer, the big years they had, several other guys jumping in there. When you can bat 304 as a team, pound 46 home runs, that is mighty impressive.
Yeah, we had some guys that could swing the bat this year. You know, Tyler Lawrence had another big year. Ramsey Scott, you know, those guys were first-team all-conference. And then, yeah, Adam Bauer, he, believe, had the longest streak in the country of consecutive games reached base. He broke our program record at 50 games, and he didn't reach base only one time he failed to reach base all season. So he had a great year, and the great thing is we're returning basically the entire lineup. So I'm, you know, these guys, you know, they need to get better, but it's exciting because they were successful this year and they're only going to get better.
Pitching staff, I know you saw improvement as the year went on, but you'll look to take another step next year. What are the things you need to do to take that stride for next season as a pitching staff?
Yeah, that was probably the main area that we probably need to strengthen heading into next year, and I'm excited about some of the young guys that we got coming in, and we have some quality arms returning as well. I think Ryan Dills is an OVC ace, and he started the year on the shelf for us. He wasn't healthy, and he came on towards the end of the year and was really good, and he's looking to build off of next year and or on, off of this year. And you know, Tyler Anderson's a young guy that I'm really excited about. You know, he's running his velocity up to 93 miles per hour this year, and had a really good year. I'm happy for Andrew Bramley, senior, that kind of just, you know, truthfully, he didn't have a good first 3.5 years of his career, to be real honest. But then his last half, kind of things clicked. He figured things out, and this is a guy that's going to get a chance to play pro baseball, and I'm excited for the MLB draft here coming up, and I wouldn't be shocked to hear his name called, and he certainly has earned it because he's busted his backside to put himself in position, and you know, the results finally followed for him.
Any other recruiting spots that you will fill over the summer, or are y'all filled up?
We are actively looking for a pitcher still. I think if you ask me that any time, though, Neil, I think I'd tell you that.
Okay. If somebody shows up, you'll find a spot, right?
Exactly.
Who can really
you never
help?
You can always have one more pitcher, I think, is the rule of thumb any coach would tell you.
Okay, gotcha. Schedule-wise for next year, are you all set on the schedule?
We are. Yeah, we have the 17 scheduled finalized. I'm really excited about it. I'll hit you with a couple of the quick ones here. We open up down at Southeast Louisiana.
Okay.
They'll be a regional team this year. That's a really good program. And we of course, have our home-and-home with SIU, which will be an exciting. We picked up Western Kentucky, so we got another regional rival that we're in a home and home, and we travel to TCU next year.
Okay,
which will be an exciting trip for us as well.
All right, Coach. I really appreciate it. It was fun to watch. Good to get out and see some night games this year. I was there for Star Wars night too. Enjoyed that, and a lot of fun. It's really turned into a really nice event. And I know once the wins start piling up, it'll become even better for everybody.
Absolutely, Neil.
All right, Kevin. I appreciate it, and enjoy your summer. If I don't talk to you again, okay?
We'll do it. Thanks, Neil. You too.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kevin Mulder, Murray State baseball coach.